From the Mills Fleet Farm Studios, WTDX Lakeville, WRXP Cambridge, WGBZ Eden Prairie, a Cumulus station. We're live.
Live!
From the Twin Cities with the Bob Sansevier Show. Great guests, interviews, and over 30 years of sports insight.
I'm pretty good at my job.
Here's the host of the show, Bob Sansevier.
Yeah, best of five now. I think, obviously, like I said this last night, there are some disappointing parts about not winning that game, and I think probably more so because of we felt that we definitely did enough things to possibly win that game. You have a little time to collect yourselves afterwards, and you realize that getting a split, coming back home is not a bad thing. And I think on top of that, it was, again, we obviously have a lot of respect for them. We know that that's a very good hockey team over there. I think we're earning some respect in their eyes, but I also think that we're learning a little bit about ourselves and what we're capable of here in this series.
You worried about tonight?
Meh.
That's how worried I am.
So you got your wild jacket on?
It's windy.
It's a windy day. You got
that on? I need
to
break the wind.
So Ben Holson had on his wild sweater. He's all decked out. I'm sure he's going to be over at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. Well, by the way, we'll be talking to Tom Reed from the Wild Broadcasting. And, of course, Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub, the namesake. Probably going there. Probably expecting to meet a few ladies wearing their sweaters. They have something to talk about in common. But they win tonight, and they're in fine shape again. There's nothing wrong. I mean, you split on the road. There's nothing wrong with that at all. That's, you know, they've been playing so well on the road to lose 4-1. The one good thing about them in the postseason, going into the postseason, they've done great on the penalty kill all year. So that's a big help for them. I'm not worried. You worried? I don't think you should worry. He'll be fine tonight.
No, Yell's bringing Bergenheim and Fontaine back into the lineup. He tried putting Cook and Schrader in there. Didn't work out probably the way he wanted to, so he's going to go back to what worked in Game 1.
Honestly, what worked in Game 1, why mess with it after how well you did in Game 1?
Yeah.
Bergenheim gave some life to that group he was with.
Bergenheim and Fontaine really brought some speed on the forecheck, and it looked really, really good in Game 1. I was kind of confused when he decided I'm going to go with Cook and Schrader.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes these coaches just think too much. If it works, why mess with it? I know he wants to get everybody involved because he figures he'll probably need, a mix of some of these guys as the thing plays out. But you won 4-2, right? In the first game, just don't mess with it. Leave it alone. My goodness, you got to learn how to do like Paul Molitor. Starts out 1-4. What do they have? Won 4 of their last 5. They're on fire. Your Twins. But before we're going to talk about the Twins too. But let's get back to the Wild because. If people want to give a call, you should give a call, 651-989-9105, 651-989-9105. You call us, you tell us what the score will be tonight and why and who will win. And if you're deemed to have, if we think you have the best response, we've got some a pair of Rush tickets at the X, home of where tonight's game will be, May 12th. If you like Rush, this is your chance, 651-989-9105. And this is the band, not Limbaugh, right?
Yeah.
Of course it is. You were telling me is it one of you like the band too? You'd go if you had a chance?
Yeah.
You can't call
Rush
in.
Band.
No, I'm a big Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons fan, but yet you won't play any of it.
Because I still can't find it. I don't know.
Bull. It's right there. As a matter of fact, Tom Whaley from the Saints joins us every Monday. He's a drummer. He should find some good drum sequences with them. Now, okay, what's Rush's big song? What's your favorite Rush song?
I don't know if I technically have a favorite. I mean, Tom Sawyer just seems to be one that pops out. I like Limelight. There's a lot of good ones.
Hum a few bars for me.
I don't think that's going to work. I don't have quite the same voice.
All right, so you're telling me you just don't have it. All right.
No.
It's fine. 651-989-9105 if you're interested in Rush tickets. Now, what do you think has to happen tonight with the Wild?
I think they just need to withstand that onslaught of physicality again that St. Louis brought in Game 2. I mean, they brought it a little bit in Game 1, but we kind of wore them down and got them on their heels, a little bit tired there. So if we just get back to avoiding some of those hits and making them try to catch us so we can get a lot of odd man rushes, make them move around quite a bit.
Well, you know, if you want to get jacked up for to play if you need that, being at home with that crowd is going to be going nuts tonight. Because they love what they've done, they love Dubnyk. It's a team that if you're a Wild fan, you got to love what's happening.
Yeah, we're in a perfect position.
Absolutely.
Splitting on the road.
Yeah.
Game one and two, that's fine. That's probably one of the best situations we could hope for because we're not going to win every single game. It's NHL playoff hockey.
No, then we're never going to go four. Let's see who we got there. Who do we have? Do you know offhand?
Not yet.
Well, my thing, just put them on. We'll fly without a net.
Martin and Monticello.
Martin, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. So score and who's going to win tonight?
I think the Wild will win 3-1.
And why?
Dubnyk's going to have quite a game. I think he's going to save a lot, and he's been doing really well. So
putting it on the Dubers.
Why not put it on the Dubers? He's the one who got him there.
Big fan base tonight. It's going to be huge.
Are you going or are you going to be watching on TV?
I'll be watching on the cable thing, the app.
The cable thing.
So they'll have the home ice advantage. Let's
take advantage of it.
Just the home ice advantage.
Yeah. All right, well, Martin, hold on. Right now you're the clubhouse leader for those rush tickets, but we have another caller here.
Pat in Princeton.
Pat, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Not too shabby. So give us, how about a score and why it will be that score?
Score is going to be 3-2 Wild.
Okay.
Zach Parise is going to factor in the scoring this evening. Obviously, our goaltending is going to be top-notch. But I think the Wild are going to prep for it.
They're going to what for it? Prep for it? Did we lose him?
I think we did.
Oh, I hear.
Oh, okay.
There he is.
So you were saying what? They're gonna prep for it?
It's going to be 3-2 Wild. I think the Wild are going to press more. They're going to bring
the puck
to the front of the net more than what they have in the past.
I don't mind. Put him on hold. Let's go back to Martin. All right. Martin, you got to bring your game up a little bit because Pat would say that Parise would be a factor in Dubnyk and the Wild to win because they're going to press more. Anything else you want to add to your argument why they'll win?
I just think it's all home ice tonight. It's going to be goaltending, just like, it reminds me of 91. It's going to go back to John Casey, and it's going to be Dubnyk and a huge home crowd.
Harkening back to 91. All right. Martin's coming back strong here. Put him on. Right, let's give another final word to Pat. Pat, you guys right now, I'd say, are neck and neck. Can you pull ahead for those tickets? Unless you want to go with each other, which I doubt. Pat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
I think the Wild are going to bring the puck to the net more tonight and not be so defensive and play off the rails.
Okay.
Going to get a lot more shots with their defense and get a few more rebound goals tonight.
All right, hold on a second here. Hellboy and I got some talking to do. I'll tell you what, they're both pretty damn good. I do like the harkening back to, I'd say after round one, Pat had a slight lead, but then Martin came roaring back with the reference to the 91 season.
Referencing history always helps because history repeats itself.
Well, so I think that does that give our answer to us? We gotta see if we gotta figure out if we can get a consolation for Pat because he was good. Let's get we'll give him the Martin. Martin from Monticello gets the rush tickets. Put Pat on for a second. Pat, it was a razor thin, but we gave it to Martin because he went back. He harkened back to history, and Hellboy loves history. We gotta figure out though. Give your information to give your information to us, and we're gonna figure something out for you too.
All right.
Thanks so much. And Martin, put Martin on. Martin, congratulations. You're getting the rush tickets. You did it with history.
Excellent. Thank you.
Martin, I got to tell you.
What was his favorite song? I didn't catch that.
It was Tom Sawyer and Limelight are a couple of my favorites.
Okay. Good choices?
I like Working Man is a good one, too.
There's not too many bad ones, so that's why they're an awesome band.
And Martin, I got
to
tell you.
Greatest band to come from Canada.
You started off slow, but you got us with the reference to 91.
Hey, I was there every game, man.
Were you? Oh, good for you. And were you out there screaming Norm Green sucks? Or was that was pre-Norm Green sucks?
Yeah, that was the year before, yeah.
All right, well, Martin, take care of yourself. Thank you, and congratulations. And like I said, we got to get Pat's information and do something for him, too. All right, so you're good with this, right? Martin did good. Pat did.
Yeah.
They both did good.
Yeah.
All right.
They both had the Wild winning, so
we
got that going for him.
So who do you agree with more?
I like the 3-1 answer from Martin. Dubnyk shows up, has a big game.
holds them down. Yeah, yeah. And Parisi could be a factor in tonight's game too, as Pat said. There's so many things that could happen in a game like this. And I do think home ice is going to make a difference. I know that they played so great on the road, but in the playoffs, you better win your games at home.
Yeah. And us going in there and taking one from them.
Yes, that knocked them down a peg or two. Yeah,
like Mike Yo said in the clip we played at the beginning, it's a best of five series now.
And if you do what you're supposed to do is win at home, you got a shot to go back 3-1.
This is what we did last year.
That's not bad.
Just kept winning at home. Try to steal one from them. Well, that's all you need to do.
You stole one from them, and now you can get it done.
Let's get in the driver's seat.
Catbird seat.
Sitting in the catbird seat.
Same darn thing. Now, speaking of, they're not in the catbird seat. And we are going to, by the way, we are going to talk to Tom Reed from the Wild Broadcast team and Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub right about 2:15. So you certainly want to stay with that. And we've got plenty to talk about today, plenty of people to talk to. But the Wild, tonight, they'll win. Home game, yeah, it's not a problem.
Yeah.
I'm usually not that cocky about a team, but I just think if they lose, they're in big trouble. But I'd say if they win, they're going to be fine.
Yeah.
You agree with that?
Well, I wouldn't even say that if they lose, they're in big trouble, because you still have another one at home after tonight.
But,
so you can even it up and then head back and
try to take care of business. Well, you have to then win two on the road, which, again, this team has proven it could do. It almost set an all-time record for road wins. But it's the playoffs. It's a different animal.
It's a different atmosphere, different animal, however you want to say it. And we even had Jeremy Rutherford, writes for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch on the ice show on Saturday morning. He actually said that the feeling around St. Louis by a lot of the fans was a sweep. St. Louis sweeping the Wild 4-0.
Before they went into it?
Yeah. They were thinking we were some weak team.
Who are they watching?
We came in and bashed them around. I don't know. I don't get it. How could you even? I mean, it's tough to predict a sweep at all come Stanley Cup.
Well, I'll tell you what. That attitude changed when the Wild got the empty netter and half the arena emptied.
I think it may have changed 2 minutes and 47 seconds into the game when Zucker got his own rebound, blasted that shot, came wraparound.
Got to be a little shock for him.
Sucked a little life out of the building right there.
And by the way, I don't think it should be a hat trick with an asterisk when it's an empty netter. Don't you agree?
Nah. I mean, it counts as a goal either way.
I know, but you really work for it. It's hard. The other thing that somebody posted on Twitter, it's a good question. What do they do with the hats? I'd throw them through a dry clean them and sell them again. Because you could say this hat was on the ice, right, when the hat trick was scored.
When St. Louis lost to the Minnesota Wild in the opening round of the playoffs.
Oh, you can do it that way, too. I think that they would probably put a different spin on it. But what do they do with them? They toss them?
I don't know. Maybe they gather them up, clean them, and donate them? I don't know if they...
I would have the team sign it.
To them or anything.
And then you give them away, they sell them, and do something with charity for them. Did I ever tell you what my big money-making scheme is when it comes to the Stanley Cup for the team that wins? Because every year they melt the ice. Because, the end of the season... Melt the ice, put it in like a little snow globe, or freeze it and give it to people. Ice from the Stanley Cup champions. You know how people pay for that if you're a fan?
Probably a decent penny.
Oh, God, yeah.
I'm just glad you didn't say put it into a bottle of water and drink it.
Well, people could do that, too. But instead of like the snow globe thing, you put it in something that looks like a sheet of ice.
That'd sell.
It'd be huge. We have dibs on it if anyone else tries to do it.
Patent pending.
Wet my beak. We'll be right back when we return. We will be joined by Tom Reed from the Wild Broadcast Team and Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub coming up next.
The Bob Sansevier Show, only on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Why are you playing that?
Why not?
Why not? Good point. All right. We are joined by Tom Reed from the Wild Broadcast Team and Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. Tom, I'm guessing it's filling up already, the pub.
You're right, Bob. I'm hearing two different voices, though.
Oh, can you hear only me now? You're hearing more than one?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm hearing Patriots. I'm hearing something else. So.
Oh, well, he's working on it. Did you get that? He's, I don't know why that would be. You got it covered there? Is that better?
I think it is.
Okay, good.
Hopefully it is.
Nice job there, Hellboy. What were you doing to the man? Every time we call you, he creates problems. My goodness.
Not me.
Yeah, right, not you. So, but the pub is filling up already, right? I'm sure it is.
Yeah, it's starting to right now, and there's no question that this is going to be a fun time, certainly for Wild fans and St. Louis Blues fans as well. But we expect this to be a rockin' sockin' type of a game tonight. I think the fans are really geared up for this one, and certainly I know that the Wild players are too.
Well, and that's the other thing. But, you know, obviously they played great down the stretch on the road in the regular season, but to be at home, that crowd will they'll be so appreciative that they got in, the way Dubnyk played, coming back 1-1. The place, you're right, it'll be rocking the whole night, and that is a big advantage for this team, is it not?
Well, it is. I think home ice says the Minnesota winning a game in St. Louis was huge for this hockey club, too. Remember last year, and I know it's last year, but Minnesota won 5 of the 6 games at the XL Energy Center last year against Colorado and Chicago. So it's a good place. I was watching this morning. They're putting all the white towels on the seat so everyone will have the chance to take away those. But I think that, you know, when you've got a team that's played as well as Minnesota has and had two very good games in St. Louis, could have won both those games. That second game, 4-1, was not a 4-1 game.
No.
If you're just looking at the score. But I think for the most part, the guys feel pretty good about themselves right now.
Now, Tom, what was the tone after the game? Was it just, look, we won one. Yeah, we lost, but we're going home now. I mean, they must have been, were they upbeat? Was there any sign of them being down a little bit? I can't imagine there would be.
No, not at all. I mean, that first period was a tough period. There's no question that when you have a starting lineup and it should include guys like Backes and Reeves, who are big physical guys, that's the tone that the St. Louis Blues wanted to send right away. We're going to be physical. And they were, but Minnesota matched them for it. I mean, they did exactly what they had to do. They took some hits. They gave some hits. They were not intimidated at all. And I think coming out of the game, out of St. Louis, they felt pretty good about themselves. They felt they had a chance to win it. They got better as the game went along also. First period is pretty even. I thought they were a little bit better in the second. I thought the third period, they really controlled things. But they've got to do that same type of thing from the get-go tonight. I think the one thing you worry about is being over-anxious because of all the noise generated in the building. Yep. And how the hype that's going to be there. So you have to really put yourself in a position where you're under control, that you're not trying to do more than you're asked to do at the beginning.
Did you see anything, Tom, that concerned you or that you thought, well, they really need to work on this, or that didn't really surface?
No, I didn't really see that. I mean, they had some good chances. Coyle made a terrific play on the one call that he hit the pipe with it. It came down, and it looked like it was going to go in the net, and that's where David Backes, the youngster to blame, was at the right place at the right time because he scooped it up. Had that gone in, I think the complexion of that game would have changed. But there wasn't anything that really stood up in my mind that was going to be a negative to Minnesota. I thought all the guys did what they had to do. They're going to make a little bit of a lineup change in tonight's game. They're going back with the original lineup. They're putting Bergenheim back in that left wing position on the fourth line, taking out Matt Cook. And one of the reasons he's got 12 goals in 24 playoff games. So Bergenheim hopefully will give that offense a little bit more of a boost and also be able to fight the physical part of it. And on the right side, Justin Fontaine, who was ill in St. Louis for the second game, is back in the lineup, and he'll replace Schrader, who will be taken out. But they've got some depth where they can add guys like that when necessary.
Well, were you a little surprised? Well, the Fontaine thing makes sense if he was ill, but were you surprised after how well he played in game one that Bergenheim was out, or was it just he wanted to get Cook in and get him, you know, in the flow of a playoff?
Well, I know, you know, Matt's a gamer. I mean, he's been around for a long time. He's played a lot of playoff games, and I think that's what they're looking for. I was a little surprised they took him out, Bergenheim out, because I thought he had a fairly good game in St. Louis. But that's a coaching decision, and you really don't know behind the scenes what's going on. Is somebody hurt? Is there something wrong? And,
yep.
And so they keep that pretty secretive, and I understand that part of it. So they appear to be healthy right now. There doesn't seem to be any problems with this hockey club, other than, of course, Keith Ballard, who's been out most of the year. But they're healthy, and they've got some staying power, hopefully, with the depth that they have right now.
I'm talking to Tom Reed from the Wild broadcast team and Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. Now, Tom, I know you go to every single, all the skates, day of the game, pregame skates. Do you look for things there, or is it really just there's not anything you could pull out that when you think back when the game is being played and afterward, I saw this in the pregame skate, and you know what, it came out here, that something was lifeless here, there was a lot of, do you put much into that, or is that overstating it to put anything into it?
Well, you learn a little bit. You don't learn a great deal by going to those morning skates, to be honest with you, Bob, but what happens is you get a chance to talk to the players a little bit. You get a chance to talk to the coaching staff a little bit. Mike Yoakum's out and talks like he normally does, after the morning skate. And there's a little bit you learn once in a while, but not a great deal. Where you learn most of it is by talking to people from the other team, talking to the media people, whether it be TV, radio, newspaper. That's where you learn some of the things about the other team. So it makes it a little more informative when we get on the air.
Was Hitchcock, the coach for the Blues, was he out watching again with his hoodie on?
I did not see him today, but they tell me he does that quite a bit. They say he does that quite a bit. He likes to watch the other team. Not that he's going to learn a great deal, but that's just his method of operation. So he likes to do that. I don't remember another coach doing that, to be honest with you, a head coach. And I've seen assistant coaches out there. You'll see that, and they'll get the line combinations when the morning skate takes place. But for the most part, maybe that's his comfort zone, and that's fine. They tell me that he's done quite a bit this year.
Well, I mean, you know what? If you're a head coach, and head coaches, a lot of them are immersed in the game, maybe that's part of his immersion.
You know, and that's what I'm saying too. You know, that there's a comfort zone you have. If he doesn't do it, maybe he doesn't feel comfortable going into it. He doesn't know enough about the players. But you have to rely on your assistant coaches also to give you the information. But so be it. It didn't work for him again.
No.
Game one. So maybe it will.
Well, Tom,
I didn't see him there today anyway.
I'm guessing the number is zero for what I'm going to ask you. How many times as a player did you sit around and watch the morning skate for the other team? Was zero the over under? I'm saying zero. Yeah, players never
zero.
Do that, right?
No. When you walk into the arena, a lot of times you might walk down where the Zamboni comes out.
Yeah, where they
look at the ice, look at the building, get a feel for that.
But you're not hanging out.
The other team might be up, but you don't hang out there to watch it. No.
No player's ever done that you know of, right? I can't imagine there is.
I haven't. I don't remember a player doing it. I never looked for a player doing it.
Yeah. Well, you guys got too many more important things to do anyway. Get the hell out of the arena.
Yeah, you got to get your drinks and your gum and everything else in the right place in your dressing room.
Well, Tom, you know what? That's the other. What's happening tonight around the game? I know that you're going to be hopping. You welcome people from all teams, so I know there'll be some St. Louis Blues fans that are at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub, but are you expecting the thing that you'll be full? You'll probably be full by 5:30, easy, right? I mean, or you have to turn people away or tell them you're going to have to wait a few minutes.
Well, we've got the heated tent that's being put up right now. And I will tell you that we always have room for one more. So don't ever think you can't get it into our place.
Good to know, then.
There's always room for one more. But we'll be full. You know, the nice thing is we do get a lot of sweaters from opponents coming into our pub. And that's the nice thing about it. You get to so many places and so many arenas where they're not welcome. I mean, if you go to Vancouver or Philadelphia or New York, I mean, different places, and the fans are vicious towards the opposition and fans who wear the opposition sweaters, which I think is terrible. But at the same time, we welcome all the fans. And I think for the most part, our fans are pretty loyal and pretty good to the opposition fans that come in here.
Tom, whenever I've been to your to the pub, and there have always been fans from the other team, they're treated just fine. I mean, they have fun with each other, so it's never an issue like you say it is another.
Absolutely, yeah, and that's what we want. We want them to have fun.
Well, and you know why they do, because the food's so good, the drinks are so good, they don't want to waste time fighting with each other, and they'll miss out on the good food and the good drinks. That has a lot to do with it, right?
Yeah, we had about 14 people from the media last night in the pub from St. Louis, which was kind of fun. They were all raving about the walleye. They loved the walleye in there, so that was a good sign. I told them I just caught it that morning in the Mississippi. It was glowing a little bit. It was glowing at the beginning, but it's okay by midday.
That's pretty good. Well, Tom, what are any big specials you want to talk about that you're going to have tonight, or everything is special on its playoff night?
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, we try to put a good product in the place. We want people to feel good coming in, and we want people certainly feeling good going out. And that, I think that's the way all the places along West 7th Street.
Well, that's very neat. Tom, as always, it's wonderful to talk to you, and we'll talk to you again as the series moves along. Tom Reed from the Wild Broadcast Team and Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub, and you do have the pub. You know what? The pub with the great grub. How's that for a little thing, huh?
That's pretty good. I like it.
All right, Tom, thank you.
Thanks.
All right. He does that. You've been there? Did I ask you that last week?
You did ask me that.
And what did you say?
I have yet to go there.
What are you waiting for?
Free food.
Don't do that. No, the food is... The prices are so good, it's like it's free. No, he actually is. It's the menu is priced very nicely, very fair. The food is terrific. And I keep telling you, I love their cheese curds. Phenomenal.
I'll be sure to try and get down there sometime soon. How's that?
Well, I thought you were going to go... Why don't you go down there when they're on the road? You know, when they go back to St. Louis. And I'm sure they're going to be playing or having the games on the big screen. You could make it, you go right from here to there.
Well, maybe I'll try that. Depends on what day it falls on.
Well, okay, we could tell you what. Wednesday is it's not going to be Saturday. It'll probably be, Friday? Is that right?
Friday?
Is it? I mean, that's why I'm just thinking, I'm just doing the quick math in my head.
It's every other, right.
It would be every, would it not be every other day here? We'd be talking about game five is what it would be, right? Game five.
Yep, Friday.
What? Okay, Friday, yep. Friday, Sunday, yeah. And then game seven wouldn't be until Wednesday. That's a big-ass gap.
Yeah. We got to give them a lot of time to
get ready for a game seven?
Yeah, I guess.
That's just silliness. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, we're going to have ourselves a little threesome of questions. Don't want to give people a wrong idea. We'll be right back with the threesome.
Three, oh, it's the magic number. Yeah, it is. It's the magic number.
Hell of a number. Hell of a number.
Can't be serious.
You want to talk present? You want to talk past? Alisa Desisa of Ethiopia, past winner.
Are you sure you didn't butcher that?
Probably. Alisa Desisa. That's what it should be. Won the Boston Marathon in 2013. That was the race just hours before the bombs exploded the finish line, killing three and injuring 260. Well, Lalisa Desisa of Ethiopia won the 119th Boston Marathon today. How'd you like to be? All right, Lalisa Desisa wins in 2 hours, 9 minutes, 17 seconds. How'd you like to be Yemain Adhane Tsege, also of Ethiopia? You're 5 seconds back. You just went 23 miles and change, and you're only, you're basically with 5. What would you think 5 seconds is in a marathon? Maybe you're 20 yards behind, if that?
Yeah, that's
probably
pretty
not
much
even
comparable
that
to losing a 100-meter dash,
yeah,
in like 1/100th of a
wire
second or something.
Yeah, I haven't seen the photo of, but they had to be. I mean, he had to be right there because they're not exactly cooking at the rate of, you know, the sprinters are. It's going to be a little painful. And congratulations to Kenya's Caroline Rodich. She won. How about this for a woman's time? 209 wins the men, 224.55. That is smoking.
She edged me out by about 24 hours.
Well, you mean you couldn't run it in like 159, like
no,
everything else you do is on off the charts?
If I could maintain my top speed the whole way.
Well, then you'd knock it off in about an hour, if that.
Done.
Yeah, done. All right, let's see that first question.
Hey, Bob.
Hey.
It's Mr. X.
Mr. X.
I have three questions for you. Yeah. Number one. Game three for the Wild and Blues happens tonight. Will the Wild play better at home than they did towards the end of the regular season?
Well, Mr. X, you should have been paying attention earlier. We addressed that. And absolutely, I think they'll play better. They better play better at home. They're going to have a crowd that's jacked because they're all going to be drinking, be hepped up on Diet Cokes from Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. Plus, there's also going to be the big, they got the big pregame festivities outside of the X going on too tonight, where they're going to have like happy hour prices. People will be well-oiled for this game. There's no doubt about it. They're going to be screaming their heads off, supporting the Wild. I think it is a home ice edge, and I think that in the postseason it's going to come to show itself that way.
Well, you look at a team like the Jets, who historically, well, the last few years, they haven't played great at home. They've been a far better road team, and they've gone in and just, they've dropped a couple games on the road, but I'm just thinking, for the Wild, they had that bad stretch towards the end of the season where they had the 5-game homestand, only took 2 of those games, I believe. Hopefully that's not a trend that will continue.
It's not. I don't think it's going to be a trend. I mean, they hit a little bit of a dip, and I think it wouldn't have mattered if they were home or wherever they were just in a, you know, a little bit of a lull. They pulled out of it pretty good, though. What's your next question?
Number two, the Minnesota Twins went 4-2 at home. How do you think they'll perform as they head back out on the road against Kansas City?
I'm not sure they'll ever lose another game.
Ever?
Ever. No, I mean, Kansas City is a very good team, but they did fine against them when they played them. When they wound up playing them earlier in the year, they were 1-4.
They lost the first
right?
game
lost
and then
the
took
first
the next
one.
Two.
Yeah, so they did fine there before, so why wouldn't they? You'd think they'd be in pretty good shape going back. They've got confidence. That's the other thing they have going for them.
This is a similar question to the first one, just for a different sport. They played so poorly to begin the season on the road. They came home. They got things fixed. Do you think they can go back out on the road and perform as well as they were at home?
I think the team is just starting to get a little more confident. Yeah, I mean, then bats are starting to come around for them. And the pitching has not, you know, killed them, but certainly not like it looked like it would when Santana went out. I think they should be fine. It will be interesting. They got three with the Royals, and then they head to Seattle for three over the weekend, and they come back home to face the Tigers and then the White Sox. And honestly, if they want to do anything about getting close to 500 or better, they're going to have to beat teams in their division, and the Royals, as good as they were last year, and it looked like they were, you know, going to have a good year this year, they had a great start, they're going to have to beat these teams. They have to.
Mm-hmm. It's a rematch of Gibson and Volquez tonight as well.
It's going to be unbelievable. I could tell you're just jumping out of your skin with excitement.
Yeah. I've been waiting for Kyle Gibson. It was bad when he ended up getting Tommy John surgery because I think he could have been a much better pitcher much sooner, but he's still waiting for him to kind of turn that corner into being a solid starter. He's not going to be a staff ace.
Keep in mind, people are waiting for the Twins to turn the corner and become a solid team for 4 years in a row, and it hasn't happened yet.
I'm patient. I got time.
I think Molitor's going to be fine. I'm sure he was probably pulling his hair out earlier in the year when they were started out with the 1-4 start. But again, they've won 4 or 5. That ain't shabby.
That's good.
That ain't shabby at all. You know, the only loss in there, they lost the first one, as you noted, to the Royals. Won back-to-back on the road. Then they... back-to-back, these were home. Then they had the Indians, and they won 2 or 3 from there, so they're in good shape. What was their record on, let's see, when they opened the season, they lost 3 in a row, then they won the game at the White Sox. Yeah, so their road record isn't exact. They got one win on the road. They do need to turn something around there, but we'll see.
Then even when you look at, they ended up winning 4 out of 6 games at home, which was good. The first game we really did get walloped. That was the 12-3 home opener. But even the game we lost against Cleveland, 4-2. It was a fairly competitive game. We didn't give up too much anyway.
Well, I think you get an idea of they'll start flirting with that 100 loss season again if they can only win one game on a road trip. That's not going to be good.
That'd be pretty bad. Let's
not savage them until tomorrow. If they lose, tonight, then we'll go after them. But now, they've won 4 or 5, even though it was at home. It's pretty good. One of them was against a team that went to the World Series. So
yeah, we're better than them.
Hey, you're much better than them. You got nothing to worry about. What are you talking about here? What else you got?
And finally, should Tim Tebow signing with the Eagles as a backup quarterback even be news?
Oh, everything with Tebow's news. You see the pretzel? The Philly pretzel, what they did?
I didn't actually click on it. I just saw.
Well, what they did is, the shot of Tebow when he gets down in the prayer, his prayer stance.
Tebowing.
Well, now they're making pretzeling. It's unbelievable. It looks like they're making the pretzel. The Philly pretzels are phenomenal. I was talking to Ben Holson about this earlier. When you buy, you don't buy a Philly pretzel. You buy it by like a block of five.
You
buy a loaf of pretzel, and it's phenomenal. Although these look like these would be individual ones. It's in the shape of Tebowing.
And it probably plays quarterback just as good as him.
Also, I wonder, would it be sacrilegious to eat it?
Possibly.
It could be, though, if he's Tebowing. So that would make me a little nervous, but I'll tell you what. I have not had a Philly pretzel in, my God, it could be decades. I used to love going to Philadelphia events for the pretzels.
I just don't understand the media hype of him signing as a backup quarterback to play somewhere. In one of my sports apps on my phone, because I have a few, top 2 stories on Saturday were about Tim Tebow signing a contract with the Eagles. Like, why is that big news when the NBA playoffs started on Saturday? The NHL playoffs have been going on. The draft's about a week and a half away.
I think I could answer. It's the same thing why people... It becomes news if Michael Sam were to sign with the team.
Yeah.
Because the media views these guys as novelties. Sam, because he is the first openly gay player to say, to play or be with an NFL team. And Tebow, because he openly believes in his faith. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a cynical media.
I just feel bad.
I mean, he's not been a very good quarterback, but he did. I mean, when he was that year that he had with the Broncos, he pulled games out of somewhere.
Well, that defense was playing incredibly
as well. Yes, but he still did enough to get them wins. He helped them.
I feel bad that we aren't giving the same treatment to Sean Hill. When he signed, we should have thrown him a parade and made pretzels in his mold.
They'd be doughy if they were in his mold. He's gotten a little thick as the years have gone on. But the thing about Tebow, it is unfair, and I've been guilty of it too. When you interview a guy, reporters have a tendency to shut it off and not even write it down when they start, you know, because a lot of them, you know, they believe in God and they pay homage to, you know, to God mm-hmm. and their belief. And, but it's such a cynical media, and I admit I've been guilty of it. If this is truly how they feel, so what? Why do you have to try to? That's why. That's the biggest thing with Tebow. It's a combination that he didn't have. He's not a great quarterback, or hasn't been one, and that he happens to have strong beliefs, and the whole thing too about him being a virgin too. He's still sticking with that, right?
I think so.
As far as we know.
I don't know. I'm not really
mock
quite
him. Up Why
to
mock
date.
Whatever his beliefs are and however he handles himself, whether, you know, if he's sexually active or not, why mock the guy? It's what he believes in and what he does.
If I'm a Philadelphia Eagle fan, all I think is, can you play football? I'm not worried about anything else.
I'll tell you what, if he
and
plays football, I'll love him. If he can't, they'll just savage him. Keep in mind, this
especially
is
especially in Philly.
Well, yeah, this is the group that boots Santa Claus.
Yeah. They like to boo.
Look, this. It's a rough crowd.
It's the Philadelphia Boo Birds.
A rough crowd, to say the least. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk to a football player. Actually, this player called in last week, and I like talking to her so much. I tracked her down. And when we get back, we're going to talk to Angela Griffin. She's the AG, calls herself the AP of the Vixens team, which had a big win the other night. I'm just fascinated by this whole... Vixens football team. It's, you know, women's football team. It's not a powder puff thing. These women hit. And they, much like players, they hit to hurt and to get you down. So we'll talk for a few minutes with her. We got Pete Wagner coming up to talk more about the Wild and the Twins. Jim Suhan and Saints executive VP Tom Whaley. The bag of the day, of course. We're loaded. Stick with us. Let's have some fun.